And thank you so much for that special this morning. At this time, the children are excused to go to the children's church, children's worship, kid style. And I would like to invite you to take your Bibles and to find with me the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. And we are going to be looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture and talking about the day that God became a baby. If I was to walk up to you on the street, walk up to you next Sunday morning in the hallways, and I walked up and said, I've got some really good news, and then just kept on walking, what would you think? You'd think, well, either he is lying and it really isn't very good news, or it must not be worth sharing. I want you to know this morning that I have some really good news. And it is the best news that we could ever hear. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And this morning I want to talk about the good news that has come, the good news that came, and the good news that God has shared with us and that we have the privilege of sharing with others. And so this morning, let's look together at Luke chapter 2. As I was preparing this series of messages, I looked at the calendar and was able to work it out so that we were here this morning in this particular chapter, these particular verses. And so that's one of the reasons why I was pacing the floor Friday. And just nervous that we were going to have to cancel the day's service. And Christy will have to tell you about that. I was really upset about it. But God in His providence allowed us to be here. And we get to continue to look at Luke and this passage of Scripture together. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each of his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same regions there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, where you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Father, we thank you so much again for this day and for the wonderful privilege that it is to gather as the body of Christ. Father, we thank you for this special time as we think about the birthday of the King. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts now as we study your word together. Help us, God, to understand it and to apply it to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture begins with some details. I mentioned that Luke was concerned about details, and so he begins this passage by telling us about who was in charge of the land. It talks about a man by the name of Caesar Augustus, and it talks about a man by the name of Cornelius, who was the governor of Syria. And while these men were in charge of the land, I want you to understand that God was the one in charge of history. God was the one in charge of history, and he used Cornelius and he used Caesar Augustus to bring about the greatest miracle, the greatest event in history. He uses them to make sure that Joseph and Mary are in Bethlehem at the appointed time for her to give birth. And so they have this journey. They take a journey. And for those ladies who have been expecting, can you imagine being told that you have got to take about a 60 to 80 mile journey in your ninth month of pregnancy? And not only that, but you can't ride in a vehicle. You've got to ride on the back of a donkey. All right, so that's what they had to endure. They had this journey. They took this journey to get to Bethlehem. And I want you to notice verse number 7 is very simple. I mean, when you think about this is the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the birth of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And notice how very simple the words are. She gave birth to her firstborn son. Very simple, isn't it? Yet so very profound. At that moment, the birth of her firstborn son, the Lord Jesus Christ, stepped out of heaven and came and wrapped himself in human flesh and came as a humble baby. Born in a manger, which the Bible says, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know the whole story about how there was no room for them in the inn. And so they were born, he was born in basically a cattle trough where there were other animals in the area. There was hay on the ground. There was a smell of cows and other animals in the air. It was a humble place that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was born. And then the scene shifts in verse 8. The scene shifts in verse 8 to a field. And in this field, there are some shepherds. Now, shepherds, as we have been told, are considered to be uneducated. They were considered to be unskilled and increasingly viewed by New Testament writers as being dishonest, unreliable, and basically unsavory characters. In fact, shepherds were not even allowed to testify in a courtroom. And that is who God chooses to bring this good news to. That is who God chooses to bring this announcement to. The shepherds are out, the Bible says, and they're watching over their flock by night. I want you to notice with me as we look at this good news, three things. First of all, I want you to notice the proclamation of the good news. The angel comes in verse number 9, and the Bible says, the glory of the Lord shone around them. The angel appears, and the glory of the Lord is shining all around them. Throughout the Scriptures, the glory of the Lord is mentioned many times. In the Old Testament, the glory of the Lord is the presence of a brilliant light that was shining. And the glory of the Lord first appears in the Garden of Eden. And then the glory of the Lord appears and manifests itself in the dedication of the tabernacle. Later, the glory of the Lord is revealed and manifests itself in the dedication of the temple. And then after centuries of rebellion and centuries of sin, the glory of the Lord leaves the temple and does not appear again until we read this passage. And so for centuries, there has not been any scene, any semblance of the glory of the Lord until you come to Luke chapter 2, verse 9. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel says, verse number 10, fear not, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. I bring you good news. The word good news is the word evangelizo. It means to proclaim good news. It's one of Luke's favorite terms. He uses it over and over again throughout his gospel. And the good news of the gospel is that the saving God sent his Son, the Savior, to redeem sinners. Let me say that again. The good news is that God so loved us. God the Savior has sent the Savior to redeem sinners. Look what he says. The angel comes and pronounces to them, proclaims to them, I bring you good news of great joy. It's not just good news, it's good news that is of great joy. This was something that had been looked forward to. People had been looking forward to the Messiah. They've been looking forward to the time when Jesus was coming, and now he has come, and the angel says, I'm bringing you good news of great joy. Look at this. That will be for who? All people. That will be for all people. You see, it wasn't just good news of great joy that was reserved for a certain small group, but it was a good news of great joy that was reserved for everyone. Think about the shepherds. The shepherds would be people that no one would have imagined that they would be the ones chosen, that God would come and send this good news to. But the shepherds are very important because they remind us of a fulfillment of prophecy. Listen to Isaiah. Isaiah said in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You see, whenever God comes, whenever the angels come and they pronounce this proclamation of good news to the shepherds, it is a reminder that God has come for everyone. You see, some people had this notion that Jesus had just come for the self-sufficient, that Jesus had just come for the wealthy. But the reality is, whenever you look at his ministry, whenever you begin to look at his life and where he spent his time and who he spent his time with, Jesus came and he sought out the poor, he sought out the lowly, he sought out the afflicted, he sought out the outcast of society. You see, Jesus came for everyone. Fear not, behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And so whenever we read that passage and we're reminded of the proclamation, we're reminded that this good news has come for joy for all people. That is a reminder to you and to me that we need to make sure that the good news that we share is not reserved to people that just look like us or people that just dress like us, but we share this good news with everyone that we meet. That every person, whether they are wealthy, whether they're poor, whether they're black or they're white, no matter who they are, their education, whatever status they are in life, the good news is available for all. Proclamation of the good news. Next, I want you to see the person of the good news. Look what the angel said in verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, the angels come and they pronounce this proclamation, and then they begin to share with them a little bit more about the proclamation. What is the good news? The good news is a person. The good news is a person. And they did not use Jesus' earthly name, but instead they began to talk about his titles. Look at the titles that they use. First of all, he is the Savior. He is the Savior. The Savior means that he has come to save people from their sins. He's come to save people from their sins. That's the bottom line. That's the main purpose for Jesus coming into the world. And so many times in today's world, today's society, we have taken that and we've turned that around and shared different presentations of what that means. Some people say, well, Jesus has come and he has come to bring fulfillment in our marriage. He's come to bring fulfillment in our families or fulfillment in our jobs or fulfillment in overcoming whatever habit we have in our life. And while some of these things are byproducts of our salvation, the main reason that Jesus has come is to save us from our sins. He is the Savior. You see, all of us have the same problem. All of us have the same issue. And the issue, the problem that everyone has is the issue of sin. And God looked down and God chose to send his son, Jesus Christ, to be the Savior, to be the one who would help us overcome our sin. Not just help us, he would take away our sin. He took away our sin on the cross. He took away our sin when he died upon the cross. Jesus Christ is the Savior, verse 11. Second of all, he is the Christ. Look what the angels say. The city of David, a Savior who is Christ. Christ, this is an exalted title for a baby that is born in such humble situation. I mean, think about it. The shepherds are getting ready to go there. They're getting ready to find Mary. They're getting ready to find Joseph. They're getting ready to find baby Jesus. Not in a 5-star hotel. They're getting ready to find him in a manger, in a cattle trough. And there is the Christ. The Old Testament counterpart to the word Christ means anointed one. Means anointed one. One who is placed in a high office of exaltation and of honor. You see, Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He has been anointed as God's King. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible says, who will sit on the throne of David forever. He has been anointed king. He has also been anointed the great high priest. The great high priest means that he is there to make intercession for us for all of eternity. And then also he has been anointed as the prophet, God's final and God's greatest spokesman. He is the Christ. And then the angel says he is the Christ, the Lord. The Lord. This is a term that requires respect. It requires esteem. It is given to someone that has a position of leadership or a position of authority. But in this context, the Lord is no mere elevated human designation. It is a divine title. It is the most important title that we can give to Jesus, to say that Jesus is our Lord. That means that Jesus Christ is the one who is calling the shots in our life. That means that Jesus Christ is at the center of our lives. That means that Jesus Christ is the one who leads us and guides us in the decisions that we make. When we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, it affects every other part of our life. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, it affects the way that you relate to your spouse. When Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, it affects the way that you handle your finances. When Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, it affects everything. It says, Jesus, this child is to be called a Savior, Christ the Lord. Look at verse 13. Suddenly, after that announcement, after that proclamation, the Bible says that there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. This was not 50 angels. This was not 150 angels. This was a multitude. I imagine there were angels as far as you could see. And these angels are praising God and they're worshiping God and they're celebrating all that God has done. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there? I mean, wouldn't you have liked to have heard these angels singing in chorus, singing in unison together? And notice the passage. Notice what they are singing. First of all, verse 14, they are giving praise to God. They are giving praise to God. They are saying, verse 14, glory to God in the highest. That's what they were doing. That's what they were celebrating. They were celebrating God. They were recognizing God. You see, the first thing that we do is we look upward and we recognize who God is. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest. And then they were looking outward. And as they looked outward, they said, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. See, this good news that they were celebrating, this good news that they were recognizing is a news that we need to understand this morning. It's a news that we need to proclaim this morning that this world is desperately looking for peace, right? It's looking for peace, and the best place that we can find peace is not in a new car, it's not in a new house, it's not a new relationship. The best place that we can find peace is in a person, Jesus. It's in a person, Jesus. That's why we see the person of the good news. Then last of all, I want you to see the picture. Because I believe that the shepherds paint for us a beautiful picture of the good news. This picture that the shepherds paint for us this morning is exactly what I pray happens every time someone trusts in Jesus Christ. This picture that they paint for us this morning is what I pray happened in your life and is continuing to happen in your life. After the angels depart, the shepherds immediately begin to discuss what has just happened. They begin to discuss what has just taken place among us. What are we to do with this information? Verse 15 says, the angels went away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. You see, what happens here as we think about this picture is, number one, they hear the good news. They hear the good news. They hear the revelation from God. You see, that's why it's so very important that we have missionaries that are able to go into foreign countries like the Brinkmans to tell people that have never heard. But even though they go to foreign countries to tell people they have never heard, that does not mean that we have been taken away from that responsibility. Because we have people around us who may have never heard. We have people around us who may have not heard the good news. And so the hearing the good news is the first step. That's why we need to make sure that we're sharing the good news, that we're telling people the good news, so that they too can have this great thing happened in their life. They hear the good news, and then number two, they believed the good news. They believed the revelation of God. Paul says it this way. He does it in reverse order, but listen to what he says. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? You see, these shepherds heard the good news. They heard the proclamation, but they did something about it. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, they got on their donkeys or whatever they were riding. They started their walk. They went to Bethlehem to see this thing. They went to see it. The third thing I want you to see is, after somebody hears the good news, after somebody believes the good news, they must come to Jesus. They must come to Jesus. The shepherds begin to seek out Mary and Joseph. And Jesus illustrates for us, or Luke illustrates for us, the next step in the salvation process. Those who truly believe the revelation of God in Christ must come to him and accept the invitation that he has given to them. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, friends, God does not make anyone come to him. We make a decision. We come. We freely, willingly come. These shepherds freely and willingly went to Mary and Joseph. And notice what happens in verse 16 and 17. They find the baby lying in a manger. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Again, wouldn't it have been great just to have been there? I mean, wouldn't it have been just great to have been there to hear this conversation going back and forth as the shepherds tell Mary and Joseph about all of these multitudes of angels and how they have come and how they have explained to them this situation that now there is born the Christ, the Lord? Had to have been amazing because the Bible says in verse 19 that everyone who was there heard about it and wondered at what the shepherds had told them. And Mary, she treasures up all these things and ponders them in her heart. And so we see here, first of all, somebody hears the good news, they believe the good news, they come to Jesus, and then, number four, they leave transformed. They leave transformed by the gospel. The angel's appearance to them and their conversation with Mary and Joseph made the shepherds privy to information that no one else had. Their enthusiastic response was to make known the statement which had been told them about this child. Look what they says in verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. Once they had heard it, once they had believed it, once they acted on the truth, the shepherds were never the same. The shepherds were glorifying God openly and publicly. They were letting others know the good news of Jesus Christ. Their witness to the good news that they had received reveals something that had happened in their lives. And the response of those who come to Christ, the natural response for those who truly believe in Jesus Christ is to want to tell others about Him. To want to tell others that wonderful good news. Most of the time, the most bold and the most passionate people in proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ are those who are newest in their faith. Newest in their faith. Why is that? It's because they have just received that salvation. They've just received that glory. They've just received that newness of life. And so they want to share. They want to share with others. And what happens is so many times, those of us who have received Christ and we know Him for many, many years, we begin to lose that zeal and we lose that unction. We lose that desire. And one of my prayers as we think about this passage of Scripture, as we think about this great good news, is that we will regain that enthusiasm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that our lives will be transformed and that others would know that Jesus is alive. The shepherds, like the shepherds, you have heard the good news. Like the shepherds, now God simply invites you to come to Jesus and to enter into His presence and receive His forgiveness. Every now and then we get invitations, and many times at the end of that invitation there will be these letters, RSVP. Of course, everybody here knows what that stands for. It's the French words, Respondez, s'il vous plaît. All right? Which means basically, answer please. Answer please. It means that a reply is expected. And did you know that the people who do the proper way to handle parties, and I forget what that's called, anyway, the people that handle all of that, they say that if you don't RSVP, you are insulting the person who sent you that invitation. And so it's important that you always RSVP. It's important that you always call and let somebody know, yes, I'll be there. No, I won't be there. And I believe that God this morning is giving us an RSVP. He has shared with us through the angels that we see here, through the shepherds. He shared with us the good news of Christ. And now he's saying to each of us, will you respond to Jesus? Will you respond to Jesus, who is the Savior, who is the Christ, and who is the Lord? Will you respond to him this morning? Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you so very much for your word. We thank you for Jesus. Father, I pray right now that you would help us today to respond to him. Father, if there's somebody here today who has heard the good news, they believe in their hearts the good news, Father, I pray that today they would come to Jesus. Today they would come to Jesus and make him the Lord of their life. Receive his forgiveness and leave this place transformed by the gospel. Father, for believers that are here this morning, Father, I pray that you would challenge each of our hearts today, that as we celebrate the good news, as we worship Jesus, God, that we would not keep the good news to ourselves, but God, we would be your feet and your hands to tell this wonderful good news to people that we know need to hear it. Father, I pray that you would speak to us right now as we sing and as we respond to your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to sing a song this morning. It's called In Christ Alone. And if you want to make Jesus Christ your Savior and your Lord, I'm going to stand down front to receive you, pray with you, encourage you as you begin your walk with Christ. If you want to just come and pray at this altar, the altar is open for you to come and pray. Let's listen to God speak to our hearts this morning. Let's respond to His Word and the message that He has.